My name is Jordan.
And I'm Kirsten.
And we're Quote the Raven. And you're listening to Tobin Tonight.
I wanted to start this off with a little bit of a shot at Jordan.
Okay.
This right here is not a shovel. Okay.
It is when you don't have one.
How do you use this as a shovel?
My other shovel was buried on the back deck after breaking another shovel. And I just went to the nearest thing that looked like it would work. And I basically destroyed the frying pan in the process. But I got my shovel out of it. And I'm proud of myself.
Carla must be pleased. Did you tell Carla that you ruined a pan trying to shovel?
See, this to me is like I know people say it's a frying pan. To me, this is something that, like, my first reaction is a weapon from Home Alone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, for sure. You know, or something you see in a cartoon where they just smack someone over the head. Or, as Rogers would like me to say, a frying pan.
Right, yes.
I don't think Rogers would just be like, hey, you know there's people watching this that are kids. I'm just like, there's no kids watching this.
And they've probably seen Home Alone.
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't. I have not. Yeah, and I still have that weapon, so I don't know.
We discussed this in the Christmas episode.
We did, yeah.
Like, you just, I don't know what it is. Like, by next year, we will get you to watch Christmas movies. And then this episode wouldn't be called Tobin Tonight. It'll just be me doing an intro. And you know how, like, they used to have on, like, is it like TBS? Where it's like a movie and I think it was like dinner and a movie. Yep. That'll be your new gig. It'll just be like, here's the movie. And Kirsten looked it over and she's going to tell you all about it. And then people just be like, did she watch it? Like, no, she didn't. She told us that she did, but she didn't. I want to ask you guys to really start off is, I know you have some upcoming dates for tours or just like going out and doing some music things because that's what you're known for. Right? You're not a skateboarder and, like, you know, a figure skater or anything here, right? Like,
oh, we aren't talking. I wish. I can't skate or anything. I'd fall down. That's so sad. So
I can scooter.
Useless. You can scooter?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like you anymore.
I used to have
you're cool, man.
I used to have tricks. Cool. Like, what do you mean? It's cool.
Oh my gosh. I doubt it. Show me your tricks, man.
Yeah. All right. See, that's the type of stuff that someone would just be like, yeah. If I was out on the street and I was like so super like relaxed about my scooter skills and someone's just like, show me your tricks, man. I'd be like, I'm 32, okay? You don't have to treat me like I'm 10.
Yeah. I don't need to prove myself.
Yeah, that's like me driving around town. Someone's just still like, show me how you park, buddy. I'm just still like, actually, I was about to, but now I don't want to because you made me feel uncomfortable.
Yes. I know that someone's watching you while you're parking the car.
Yeah, I know I'm supposed to go into this like location within 5 minutes, but you just made me feel very uncomfortable about myself. So I'm just going to go home. Someone like texts you inside, are you still coming? I'm just like, actually, the worst thing has happened. They'd be like, death in the family. What happened? I'd be like, no, someone encouraged me to park and they were going to grade me. And that made me feel terrible. So I went home. But tell me like a little bit about where you're planning on going. Are you excited to go to these places? And I guess a little bit of a backstory just for me and for anyone watching is like, how essentially do you land these places?
Yeah. So this year is, we're calling it the investment year because we're doing a bunch of like conferences and lots of festivals and stuff on an international level for the first time. So like we've already been to Ireland and London, and now we're going to Kansas City and Australia and Scotland and hopefully some other places later on in the summer that we can't announce yet because it's not confirmed. Yeah. Like I think the biggest thing is we've been doing this for 10 years and I think just knocking on doors has been the thing. And there's been a lot of people who up front were like, no, it's not going to work out. Who after 3 or 4 years completely did a 180 and was like, you know, like a lot of festivals have mandates and they have like something that they want to deliver or a theme or like something in mind. So a lot of the times, like maybe it doesn't work out 1 year, but you could be a perfect fit for the next year. And so it's just being persistent. Like say we've been at this 10 years and a lot of these festivals said no the first 5 or 6 times we met with the people. And we just never burned a bridge, you know, like we were never like, all right, cool, we're not playing it, goodbye. we were like, cool, like, it'd be great if one day down the road, if it makes sense, like, you know, we'll gladly come. So, and I think that's been the testament to the longevity and the gradual growth of stuff that we've kind of been experiencing.
Let me mark that down. Don't burn bridges. Okay. That's what I've been missing this whole time, you know? Here I am out here going like, no, you can't have this guy. And I'm just like, well, you know what? You can stick it. And then they're like, and then like 3 months later, you're like, can I have that guy? And like, remember that time you told us? And I'm just like, yeah, but I was just mad.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's tough. And I mean, it's tough. Like, it's your livelihood or it's your passion and stuff like that. And so when people give you a no, like, it's so discouraging, it's disheartening. And there's a bunch of different directions. You can be really sad about it, you can be really mad about it. But I think we learned early on that, like, when we got upset about it, like, less things kind of came our way. And that really changed our attitude for the business. And then to see, like, say, like, something happened, like, 4 years later, it's like, oh, well, we have no reason to be upset at all over a no, because it could be a yes down the road.
I get it. But here's the question I have for you, because, I mean, we're kind of in a similar field where it's entertainment. You do music. Yeah. I do, like, interviews. But, like, the immediate reaction, I think, when you get – do you remember getting, like, I guess your first no and how you took it compared to, like, now? Because I remember getting my first no, like, say, 5 or 6 years ago, and – my approach at that time was like, yeah, of course you're going to say no, because I have nothing really to sample or give you.
Yeah.
And then when you get your first big yes, you're kind of like, are you sure? Is this a mistake? Like, are you sure you want to do this?
Yeah.
Like, in your mind, you don't send that to them in an email where it's like, are you sure? And then they're like, actually, if you're questioning it, then no. But like, yeah. Once I got so far in your career of doing this and you were getting no's for like, I get it if it's like an A-list celebrity and you're like, no, I'm like, okay, like, fine. Like, it's a little bit like still like, mm-hmm. But then when you're getting people that you're like, you kind of feel like you're on that level and they say no, it's almost like, well, who do you think I am? Like, you think I'm just like a nobody? Like, I just gave you like 6 people that I've had conversations with. And then you kind of sit there like, whew. But do you remember your first no? Has it changed in how you kind of perceive it to now? Or are there still signs or times that you're like, we could have did that festival, man. I'm a little bit mad about that one.
I think a bit of both. Like you say, I think when we first started, we were definitely the same as you, kind of being like, well, we're just starting out. Like, this makes sense that you don't want us. I think we still feel that way a lot of times, though. Some of the big festivals that we've gotten recently that we had a no in the previous year, it's like, yes, of course, we've come so far in a year. But at the same time, it's like, oh, why? Like, why didn't they take us last year? Why now? But like Jordan said, it's just circumstances usually. But I don't know how sometimes you see other artists that get it and you're like,
you're like, really?
But like, it's so silly to think that. Like, sometimes it's just like, I guess a jealousy thing in a bit of a way. I don't know. I think, yeah, we've changed our perspective on what a no is and what it feels like. I think it's just kind of, we're pretty persistent if we want to go back or if we really want to do that festival. And most of the ones that we've wanted to do, even if it's taken years, like, we have been able to do it. So we have had, though, like, a couple people who we really didn't think would ever hire us. And okay. So it was just kind of the vibe that we got from that person. And it was just so wrong. It was just a complete, like, we didn't know them well enough, obviously. And like, now we do. And it's like a complete drastic change from what we thought. So I think it's just sometimes, you know, you get in your head about these no's and you kind of convince yourself that it's a you thing and it's probably just not a you thing. One day it'll happen, kind of thing.
Yeah. I think the no's really don't matter. And like, spending time on them is only like going to work yourself up over it, because you can question it all day. But like, it could literally be someone didn't check their email. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like, if that's the rationale, someone like we've had stuff go to junk mail. Like, I have had stuff come into junk mail and I've had stuff go to junk mail. And if it weren't for the fact that I check it all the time, there's huge opportunities that we would have missed just because I was like, someone sent an email and Google was like, no, that's trash. I'm like, Google, no, this was like a huge opportunity with like an offer, and it wasn't from a like Nigerian prince. So like, yeah. This is like, please don't put this in the junk anymore. But I think by being diligent about that and then like focusing on the yeses and making sure that when we do get a yes, like, we go out and we perform the best that we can, I think that's like what gets us the next step, you know?
No, I kind of agree with you, but I want to kind of put this spin on it. It's like when you first get like that big yes, I'm going to put it on this way because it kind of transitions to the next question, but it's like a little bit with growth. Like when I first got, I guess, your first yes. Now, I believe the biggest one I got when I first started was Jimmy Rankin and Heather Rankin, which I thought was huge because I'm just like, I'm not sending you like shit. And then they're just like, yeah, well, come on. And I'm just like, you awesome. Sure about that? You sure about that? And the irony behind it all was I'm like, oh, I got to present myself very professional. But I'm in a studio at Algonquin. So there's not like this setup. This came over time because of COVID. Right. But we had to rent out the studio, like students. And we're still trying to do assignments and stuff. And I remember putting it on a piece of paper on the wall, like whatever time slot. And then underlining it, like the don't work for me. And then a kid that was in like the same year as I won't say his name, but he had to stay in there for like another half hour. And I'm just like, you are killing me. Like, this is my first episode and you're killing me.
That's tough when when like professionalism of other people affects your professionalism. Cause like there's so many things like in the industry, like it could be like team members. Thank God we have a great team, but like I know people who have had like team members who have just like dropped the ball for something, or literally like you say, like studio time, like be delayed by a day or something. And then someone like an opportunity is just completely missed. Like it is it's tough because those are the things that are out of your control. It's just like, it's like flying, like, you know, like living in St. John's and flying anywhere. Good luck if you don't give yourself an extra day, maybe two most times on either end to like make sure that, like, you know, it's such a huge thing to consider it. And I think just being over prepared, like it may seem like it's overkill, but I think for us it's also been the reason that, like, I mean, it's stressful, but it's like when things are stressful, it's usually not at a point where most other people would be like literally putting out fires, and not even figuratively putting out fires, like literally putting out fires. We're like, okay, well, I already know that there's an electrical issue, and I'll just swap the cable. You know, like that's the kind of thing, right? So
I think it just comes with, like, because you said you've been doing this now, like, I guess 10 years or more plus, but it's like, you know, you've learned things along the way to like grow, not just like, I don't think, now this is just me personally saying it, like, I don't think my interview style or conversations changed. But I've noticed, like, I was never one to go back and listen to my stuff because I'm just not, like, I hate the sound of my own voice. But sometimes when I go back to listen to episode one compared to now, I'm just like, okay, you don't think there's much changed, but it's the way you deliver the conversation. Because I'll tell people, go back and listen to, like, the first one, like, say, I think it was, like, Max Kerman of the Arkells. That sounds like I just woke up out of bed and someone's just like, you're going to interview Max today. And it sounds like it's like the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. It's like, wait, I got to interview this guy from the Arkells. It's a band that I like. Oh, like, geez. And then you listen to it and it's just like, so when did you get into the band? How did you do? And they're just like, are you bored? I'm just like, I'm falling asleep and it's me.
Oh my God.
So you grow over time. And then like the whole aspect of like how things, because there are young people out there that probably will look at you now and see, like, when they go to your page and go like, oh, well, they're going to Australia. Like, I'd like to go to Australia. How do I get there? Or like, they went to Ireland. Like, man, like, I heard them on the radio the other day. Like, it feels, because you've been doing it for 10 years, but they're only picking up on it now. And it's almost like that whole, like, they only see the now. They don't see like the work behind the scenes. I've had calls where someone, like, I think Alan Doyle phoned me one time and he's like, I'm ready to do the interview. And I'm just getting up out of bed because I put it down on the wrong day in the calendar. And then I was like, well, that's going to be a quick fix. I'll call Alan tomorrow and be like, can we do that? No, you either kill that relationship because now he's looking at you and going like, how unprofessional, or you basically got to like do damage control instantly. And be like, you can't go and say, I just woke up out of bed, man. I'm sorry. You got to basically go like, I don't have the studio time. Listen, I'm like 20 something odd years old. This is what happened. And then he kind of either feels sorry for you or he just goes like, no. And then you got to work it up again. Then you got to work your way back. Do you find that sometimes you're like, there's a festival or an event that you're kind of like where you just got glossed over or weren't accepted and you felt that year, okay, we could do that. But the time that you finally do get it, you're kind of like, we got on the other side of the park because they basically trusted us this time. Let's see what we can do and hope it goes somewhere else.
Absolutely, we felt that way. Absolutely, we felt that way. Well, specifically for the person that I was mentioning earlier that we didn't really think liked our band and we really didn't think would ever hire us. So, like, when we finally got that one, we were freaking out because we were just kind of like, this is a lot of pressure.
It was a really big one. And I'm not going to say what one it was, but it was also, like, the position that we were in the, like, main slot was, like, the best that a new coming band could get. Okay. So, like, to go from, like, this person definitely hates us to, like, oh, wow, we're in between, like, two headliners right now.
Yeah.
You know, like, to go from that that dichotomy, it's just, like...
Yeah. And it was like a lot of pressure. It was a lot of pressure. Yeah. I remember leading up to it, we were freaking out. And then we were just kind of like, why are we freaking out? Because they obviously hired us for a reason. They put us at this spot because they knew that we would be good for it. And so we just have to go out and be ourselves. And like,
yeah,
we did a really good show, which was great. Because sometimes when we're under pressure, we don't. I will say that, like, especially for like conferences and stuff, but that's like such a different ball game anyway.
Almost
but like for festivals, like, yeah, that was so much fun. But we did feel the pressure. We had to convince ourselves that it was just going to be magical, and we had to just kind of like enjoy the moment that we were given, kind of thing.
Hi, I'm Steve Yerko.
And I'm Tara Sands. Now available from Maji Media is our new podcast, 4Kids Flashback. 4Kids is the company who brought you the English dub of Pokemon in the late 90s and so many other shows like Yu-Gi-Oh!, Shaman King, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Kirby, the infamous One Piece dub, and so many more.
We'll be talking to the people who worked at 4Kids. Actors, directors, writers, editors, producers, engineers, you get the point. And hopefully get the answers to questions both you and I have about the company.
I actually worked there as a voice actor on some of the shows.
And I was a kid watching the shows and remember way more than Tara does.
And thank God for that. Steve is actually a professional storyboard artist, which gives some really unique insights into anime and animation. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. That's the number 4 Kids Flashback.
It's almost like, to kind of like paint the picture, I guess, for an audience there, it's like almost like, for example, like a Boots and Hearts festival or a Cavendish festival, and like you don't get it the first year, and now they're almost like, rather than putting you on like a showcase on a Friday night, they're almost like, all right, just say there's Tim McGraw, there's Tim Hicks, there could be like Shania Twain, and then I don't know, like I'm just trying to think of the girl's name, but Kelsey Ballerini, okay, and then they're kind of putting you like Kelsey Ballerini is the headliner, and then they might have like a Canadian guy, like just say Tim Hicks or whatever in there. And then you got to go in between them. And it's almost like, so we basically went from not being here last year.
Yeah.
And now you're putting us basically like, hey, listen, Tim Hicks is going to come out and get the crowd going. We're going to need a little bit of level playing field to like amp up Kelsey Ballerini. You're going to be that level playing field. Like, you know, just to kind of like get the crowd kind of like, we're still into it, but we're really waiting for that headliner. And you're just kind of like, oh, wow. Like we went from like, you don't want us at all to, hey, now you got to open to this person.
Yeah. You have to keep the crowd entertained until,
With sad, slow songs.
Yeah, with sad songs.
We're great at it.
Are you sure?
It's our thing. Like, that's another thing, too, is, like, I think that kind of relates to it, is, like, a lot of people question their art because of that, because of the rejection. And I think we still question ourselves, and there's still a lot of imposter syndrome that happens. But I think the one thing that we've been very adamant about is like the music that we play is the music that we play. The music that we write is our music. Like it's from our souls. There's some happy songs mixed into the midst of it, 'cause we're happy people sometimes, but like a lot of the songs, like even though the message is still happy, like it has like a slower kind of vibe to it. But by being persistent about it, we've gained an audience that like actively looks for what we're doing. And that to me is like, it's really reassuring then to go do those festivals to say that obviously we got booked for this festival doing what we do and what we do best. And there's no expectation then to be like the headliner who's like, you know, doing the fist pump and getting the crowd going kind of thing. Like what we do is what we're being programmed to present. And once we got to that point, I think it was really special for us because now it feels way better to go out and perform our music because we're not in our heads. that, like, oh, this isn't what the crowd wants. Well, it's what the director of the thing wanted, and they've been doing it for, like, 20 years. So it's, like, clearly they have a good understanding of what they want for their festival. So we're in the right place at the right time, which is, like, going back to, like, young artists. Like, you know, we met up with a young band, like, from like, just outside of, like the Bay Route Carbon Air area. And that was, like, one of the first things that we wanted to kind of say to people was, like, listen, like, there's going to be a lot of people in the industry who are going to tell you, like, what they think is right and what, but nobody knows.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like it's all a crapshoot. Like, there's stuff that's proven to work, but it's all, like, at a point it becomes repetition and it becomes boring and it becomes not artful at all. And I think by just being persistent to yourself and growing as an individual and learning new things and experiencing that and enjoying that, then you're going to get somewhere. And whether that's, like, a higher level of education in terms of, like, music career or whatever, or it's, like, more festivals or a bigger audience, I think staying true to yourself, obviously talent and luck are all big factors in all of that. But I think for every time someone told us to do something different, it's never worked. So we just kept doing what we wanted to do.
I think the thing that you said, though, about, like, artists starting out kind of wondering how we are going to Australia or all these cool opportunities, I think it's just like we've done a lot. It is who you know, but it's also like the things that you do to meet those people. So we did like Global Music Match, which was really cool. It was over COVID, and they kind of like paired artists from all around the world together in groups, and then you would collaborate every week for a different artist in that group. And we also had like coaches, and they were delegates from different festivals and all that stuff. So that's sort of how we got to Australia. So it's sort of like also being open to just kind of new opportunities and applying for pretty much everything. You know, a lot of these conferences we've done once or twice, and maybe we didn't get anything, or maybe we only got one opportunity last time. Maybe this time when we go to Kansas, we'll get a bunch of opportunities. Like, you never know, right? So, but those are the things that we've done to try to get as far as we can across the world. So I just wanted to mention that for anyone who's just starting out.
Yeah.
Like that, if you see an opportunity, just try it.
I want to ask you a little bit about, I guess, like your latest single that's out since early February. Have you got sort of like any feedback, like positive, negative? Like, I know sometimes I put out an episode and like, I cancel out the bot accounts 'cause they don't count, but you'll get like one or two. I think the Stamos one I had out for like 2 days. And then I don't expect people to listen to the full thing. Like, they're just trying to pick things, and I get it. And then one guy's like, I really like this interview, except like he started to mention about Newfoundland and you went off topic and went back to Full House. I couldn't I didn't understand why you did that. And I'm just like, I look back at it and I'm just like, you can literally see me like kind of like nodding my head, listening. And I'm just like, because I didn't think anyone wanted to hear his Newfoundland story about how he was here for a day. And then he's just like, I would have like really liked that. And I'm just like, all right, next time I'll do better. Okay. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Okay. Kirsten, you want to take this?
Oh, about the song? Sure.
Yeah,
the song is called Already Gone. And this has been like so long in the vault. We've been, I guess, playing it for almost 2 years, maybe live.
Okay.
And we recorded it back in, what, last January, Jordan?
I think it was March. I think it was, it was before ECMAs, I think.
Right.
March or April.
So it's been a little while, but we've been sort of slowly working up to the new album. So I guess that's why it's taken a while to come out. But I don't know. We always got such a good reaction when we would play it live that we knew that we wanted it to be a single. So, yeah, it was the first one we put out for the new album. But we wrote it with Mallory Johnson and Andrew Rogers and Chris Ryan, who are all great artists from here in Newfoundland. I know you know that, Brian, but go tell everybody.
Yeah, I know. I know Mallory. I know Mallory pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah,
Mallory said that we were friends, and then she's been to contact me ever since. I'm calling you out, Mallory. No, I'm kidding.
Mallory, being busy in Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
That's it. You know what? She gets a pen, too.
Dunk. Gotta get the sound effect going.
But she invited us out to Codroy Valley. Her parents have like a really nice summer home out there. And we all just wrote for like, I guess, a couple days, weekend. Mostly Christmas songs, but we did get this song and a couple others that are not completely done. But But yeah, so we love this song as soon as we finished it and asked everybody right away if we could be the one to record it, and they all gave us their blessing. And so yeah, we put it out. Yeah, I think the reception has been really great.
Yeah, we've been picked up by a couple of radio stations, like Sirius XM Radio is playing it now. That's a huge deal for an artist, like, you know, just from an exposure standpoint, because, you know, those channels, you know, there's a limited set number of those channels, and it's like cable television, you know, it's kind of the equivalent. And there's a lot of like, there's a lot of money associated with that too, which is great. You know, it's kind of luck of the draw, and hopefully the song kind of stands up against everything else that's on their playlist. But like, if you get on it, like, it does help kind of pay a bill or two. Whereas, you know, streaming is more like a social media kind of aspect.
Yeah.
We kind of view it like that, you know, like it's, and the streaming reception has been pretty good too, like compared to some of our other singles, like, you know, it's only been out a couple weeks and we got a couple thousand streams on it already, and all organic, you know, like it's not like we're going out and paying bots to do that, right? Like it's people genuinely going out of their way to find our songs and listen to them. And I think, you know, as much as like high numbers matter, like knowing that there's like a couple thousand people who have like went out of their way to like find the link, because, you know, if you put a link on a Facebook page or anywhere like that, it instantly gets buried in all the algorithm stuff. So like the fact that people have actively been searching for this song and finding it and liking it and kind of, you know, giving us a little bit of feedback on it, like it's so special. Like every time that happens, like we're, you know, even like say 10 years later, like it's still surprising, and because we make it for ourselves, but for people to like give us that feedback to say that they love this song and they've been listening to it.
I want to ask you another kind of fun aspect to this podcast. We kind of do it at the end of the episode.
Okay.
Sweet.
All right. So let's start a fun game of random questions to close this out. The first one we have, what's the strangest situation you've ever found yourself in?
I don't think we can tell that actual story. It's a very long one. We were in the middle of nowhere in a house playing to absolutely no one. And we never made any money.
And the whole room. Ooh, how do I say this in a way that can be on television? It looked like a room in Vegas
where they do,
in the middle of nowhere.
Where they do films, where people make films, but like adult films.
People make films. Yeah, that's what it looked like.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was very interesting. And we thought we were
gonna die that night. Yeah, yeah. next question.
Okay. This is how we're going to conclude it, because I feel like this one could go on for a while. What was your most recent experience of going down the rabbit hole?
Oh, gosh.
I started getting... I do a lot of YouTube stuff, and I watch like Good Mythical Morning every morning, basically. But I started watching more like engineering based YouTube videos, and I literally have one up now by this channel called Stuff Made Here.
Okay.
And this guy is making questionably legal pencil sharpeners. And so that's the rabbit hole that I've gone down of just weird engineering things and like amazing YouTubers who are using like conventional material things or like machines to make really hilarious things. Like I think one of them is a pencil sharpener with a bullet. It's like an explosive pencil sharpener by basically like shooting a pencil into a mold so that it forms a pencil shape, stuff like that. So yeah, that was my rabbit hole. It's deep. It's getting deep.
Mine is very... No one's going to be shocked by this. I am obsessed with Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. And I cannot stop watching videos about that. Cannot. I'm like... And then I was like watching the podcast of him and his brother and like interviews of his mother. Yeah. And like, I was like, what is happening? So ever since the Super Bowl, that is what's happening with me. So
see, yours are pretty, like, I feel like there's a relatively simple, like in terms of what I'm about to present to you for my rabbit hole is I sometimes will like things on YouTube, where it's like you'll hear a song, you listen to it, like you'll find an app that shows you the song. So I'll go like the video. So in case I ever forget it, I at least know it's there on YouTube. So there's a lot of things on Instagram that you can stumble across. There's people that say, like, back in the 90s, this happened, back this, like, do you remember these bands? So there was one that someone had put in, do you remember these bands from like the early 2000s, late 90s? And they had LFO. And it was like,
Girls from the Summer.
Girl, yeah, like they have like a few that I can remember. So then I started watching like their concerts. I'm like, wait, you fuckers had concerts? Like, I didn't, thinking Backstreet Boys and NSYNC had concerts, not these guys.
Yeah.
And then I found out that I knew like the blonde haired guy had passed away. Then I look and there's like another guy who passes away that's like 2018. There's only three members. And then there was the creator who was never involved in the band, he passed away. So then there's like this one guy that just kind of does these tour of like telling stories. And I'm like, that's interesting. So I click on that. That sends me to another boy band realm. And then there's more 90s, the 2000s videos. Whoa. So it brings me to Dream. What's the song by Dream? It's like something about Chains to Unlock. Like it's, I don't know. It's a pretty catchy song. So then
that's bringing back some hit list, like,
yes, and that's what happened. Then you go down, like, so then I looked up the girl from Dream who's apparently suing Nick Carter for things that you do in the night, like, whatever.
Ooh, really rabbit hole, like,
and then it brings me to YTV, and then I looked up at the furniture of like YTV where it's all like, you know, blow up furniture, and I'm just like, okay. And then you think that would be the end of it, but no, then it just goes into like YTV to like, do you remember Five? I'm like, yeah, I remember Five. So now you go to the UK side. Then from there you get like UK child shows that I've never heard of. And then it just brings me to Franklin. So now I'm going down that train of like all the like songs I remember from childhood, from like, hey, it's Franklin.
Have you listened to the new Beyonce song?
Yeah, I don't like it.
but it's, you can play Hey, It's Franklin over the top of it.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yes.
There was a radio station. Carriages or the other one?
Yeah.
Texas Hold'em.
The Texas Hold'em one, like, yeah, it's like, hey, okay, it's Franklin. It works over the top. A radio station in Ontario did a video on it. I watched it the other day.
Hilarious.
I'm extending the rabbit hole even further. So it's,
yeah, that's what's going to happen. But yeah, I went down that rabbit hole, and then I woke up. I know I went to bed at 12. I woke up at like 5, and I'm just like, where did I go? How did I get here?
Wow.
But sometimes a rabbit hole isn't necessarily bad. There's been ones where I've started with wrestling and then ended up with like, next when I'm at like K-pop, I'm like, how did I go from wrestling to K-pop? I'm like, tell me which trend. And it might just be that YouTuber like the K-pop, and that was one of their first videos. So
right,
yeah,
it's because they knew you were going to talk to us, and I really love K-pop, so then they were just shoving K-pop in your face.
Yeah,
that's what happens.
That's what happens. You know what you should do? You should do a cross brand with Raven Simone.
I love it.
Oh yeah. My god, that would be my childhood dream come true.
Like when they do cameos, you should just have a cameo of her that just does the stare, and then you can
does
add
Raven
the visual
do
effect.
Cameo
I suppose she I should so. Yeah, just get her to do the
we
stare
totally
for like
do
I
don't, that.
Yeah, and then that's and then you go into a quote the Raven video, and then tell her at the end to be like, whoa, I was just in a quote the Raven video, but she wouldn't talk.
Oh my gosh,
it.
That's such a great idea. Wait, hold
a
on
buddy. A buddy of mine's always like, when's that new That's So Raven song coming out? I'm like, oh, man. I hate you.
Did I tell you what my friend in college used to call our band? Because she'd always forget. Spread the Eagle. That was what she called.
That sounds
she was like, oh, right, yeah, that band you're in. Right, that band. What is it called? Spread the Eagle? That's, and I'm like,
That sounds like the first random question gone horribly wrong.
Yeah.
That makes sense that why you were in that adult film area. Like, we hired this band called Spread the Eagle. Oh, this is going to be interesting.
Oh, we got the wrong band.
Yeah, you just show up.
We have to tell you about that someday.
We're a folklore band. They're just like, what kind of folklore do you play? I don't know what kind of folklore you mean. What are you talking about?
That's going to do it for this episode of Tobin Tonight. Our thanks to Quote the Raven for coming onto the show. Remember, you can find past, present, and future episodes on TobinTonight.com, Spotify, and iTunes. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and leave a comment or two. For Tobin and myself, this is Jacob saying thank you for listening, and good night.
Connie Thiessen, the host of Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast. We focus on Canada and the challenges facing Canadian radio and TV, as well as highlighting those moving the industry forward from podcasting and streaming to new broadcast tech. Check us out at BroadcastDialogue.com or your favorite podcast app.
Hi, I'm Mercedes Nickel, four-time Winter Olympian and host of Dropping In, a podcast with Mercedes. This is a podcast where I interview a bunch of different people. I get the good, the bad, and the ugly, as well as I share my stories along the way. Now you can drop in at droppingin.com or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. I'll see you soon.
Another Sound Off Media Company podcast.